We'll look at the tape.
Hogan Johns.
I think we got to come out hard and stay hard.
Part of Chicago's best Bears coverage.
I don't know.
Now, here they are.
They're day-to-day in my mind.
WGN Radio's very own Adam Hogue.
I'm violent.
And the Chicago Sun-Times' Adam Johns.
What an a-hole.
Hug it, chug it, football!
Welcome in, episode 94 of Hogan Johns, where we always come out hard, and we always stay hard.
Opening up with the penis jokes again, huh, Adam?
Even during OTAs.
Okay.
I'm just quoting Harold Jones Quartet.
It's a great quote. I wasn't there for that. What was it, a post-game? It has to be a post-game.
No, it was during the week before one of the games. Early in the season, though. That quickly became the theme of this podcast during the 2016 season. All right, well, now we fast forward to May 30th when we are recording episode 94, the Leonard Floyd edition of the podcast. And Leonard Floyd?
Not present.
Not present at OTAs today at Hallis Hall. I think I'm allowed to tell you that. I have no idea.
Yeah, it gets confusing, the rules and regulations we have to abide by. I get it.
You
kinda
do?
Some reporters aren't even allowed to watch practice during the off season.
I'm at the point where that'd be fine. It'd be.
I'd rather be out there. I get what you're saying because
it's gotten to such a headache where I have no idea what I'm allowed to say and write.
Just take roll call, and if you're not there, you're not there. You're going to be tweeted about.
Because what are you really getting out of watching the practices? They're not wearing pads.
Mm-hmm. You see early depth chart moves.
Fine.
Okay, fine. Hang out.
There's nothing.
You can hang out in the media room without camera guys.
There's nothing in OTAs that you can't see when they open up in training camp.
You're probably right. Yeah, you're probably right.
I mean, I can pick apart the depth chart here for 3 weeks, or I could just see it all the first day of training camp.
And tweet it galore.
When it's maybe allowed to tweet. I have no idea, but we're not allowed to, because the point is here we go, we start this podcast, and yes, I can see all that, but I can't tell our listeners right now what that was that we saw. I can't tell you.
Well, you can say some general things. The defense was much better than the offense today.
But I'm talking about like the stuff that you brought up. The depth chart is, yes, something that we can glean and in our heads.
Yes.
You know, is maybe the benefit of watching practice. But I can't tell our listeners that. The only thing I can tell you is that Mike Glennon is the number one quarterback because the Bears have already made that very clear.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, like, I can't even tell you. I can't tell you that Jordan Howard's still the starting running back.
You could say that.
I mean, but technically, I can't say he ran with the ones today.
But he did. Oh,
you know he's a starting
quarterback. Yes, come on.
Or
come
running
on.
Back.
We know that.
But that's how ridiculous this is. What I can tell you, I think, is that Kevin White was present at OTAs today, did participate, which he didn't last week when we were allowed to watch OTAs.
And that day was a rainy day. Apparently, he worked out. So let's go over the timeline.
Yes.
Last week, Monday, participated in OTAs.
That was the first practice of OTAs.
Yes. Mike Glennon thought he had a good day.
Mike Glennon thought Kevin White had a good day.
Yes.
To clarify.
Number two day of OTAs, Tuesday.
Tuesday, which is when we were allowed to be there.
Yes. Kevin White is not out there. He is out there, but not partaking. Of course, John Fox is then asked about it, gives us a kind of a muddled answer, which is kind of expected of Fox.
And then says it's the same situation as everyone else who's hurt coming off injuries.
Right. So,
which is obviously not the same situation.
No. And then he made things even more vague when it was asked directly whether or not he would participate again in OTAs. And he was very Fox-esque again, which is that's just
and
Fox.
And asked directly if Kevin White was dealing with a new injury.
Yes, that's your question.
Because he practiced Monday, didn't practice Tuesday. Did something happen Monday?
You know what happened Tuesday? It was pouring.
It was not pouring. It was.
It had rained.
You were
steadily.
Still standing in the rain. It could not have been pouring.
Yeah, but
that
it
much.
Had rained steadily for like 2 days.
All right. Well, I'm going to bring up. This is football, and if you can't practice in the rain, if it's that big of a deal, then go to Walter Payton Center. You have a nice indoor facility.
True.
Go inside and let the guy. The guy needs reps. His wide receivers coach just a few weeks ago talked about how he's starting over with this guy.
He doesn't need reps in the rain.
He needs practice reps. Oh, my God. We just had the offensive coordinator complain about the lack of reps he has for his quarterbacks. The wide receiver, the number 7 overall pick from 2 years ago, his wide receivers coach says he's got to start over from square one with this guy. And now it's okay that he practices.
He's not starting over with square one with this guy. Kevin White's been here for 3 years.
Yeah, and how many games has he played?
4.
Yeah,
I get that.
Out of 32.
But he's still in the full offseason last year on a respected wide receivers coach. I get it. Let's not blow our gasket here on a May practice about Kevin White.
It's not just the games. He has practiced 4 weeks out of 32 weeks of regular season time. It's not just he hasn't played in games. He hasn't practiced.
I get it. But it's May. It was rainy. Field was soppy.
Then move inside.
Maybe he wanted to toughen everyone else up.
Maybe something happened on Monday.
Okay. Well, obviously it wasn't serious enough
for
him not
to
be out here today.
And Kevin White wasn't exactly pleased to see us today.
No, he did not like us whatsoever.
Do we want to play this? Kevin White did talk to the media today.
Hit the button.
It's about 4 minutes in length. We'll play it for you. It's not too long. And it's not necessarily interesting because anything he says. It's just interesting because, I guess, how he reacts. Here it is.
Kevin, how you feeling being back out there running around for the first time in front of us?
Feel good. No complaints. Like I'm doing a pretty good job getting into my routes. Still working on a couple things, but it's getting better.
Kevin, have you had to relearn running? Have you had to adjust your gait type of thing because of the injuries?
You could say that. I just got to train the body again. Fixing things, correcting things, and just getting back to it. But overall, I'm not worried about it. Everything takes time, but feel pretty good.
Kevin, at this point in your recovery, do you feel limited at all in any way? Is it just the team managing you, or are there certain things here you're not comfortable with?
I'm comfortable with everything. So whatever I have to do, that's what I'll do. Other than that, it's their call upstairs.
What type of urgency do you feel in year 3 going through the rehab again?
This was actually a good quote.
Got to happen now. Got to turn it up. You know, even year 1, year 2, I always want to turn it up and show what I can do. So for me, year 3 is just, it's time.
Without Alshon here, it's a group of a lot of unproven guys, the guys, you know, maybe like Vic, who are trying to stay in the league and contribute. What do you sense of this whole group and your place in that as, you know, obviously a draft pick who was brought here to carry this group?
We got a lot to prove, but who don't? So we just take it like that, and, you know, whoever want to say things about us, you know, say we're unproductive or inconsistent or whatever you want to say. I mean, you guys write it up, and we'll try to do our best out here.
Kevin, how about for you personally? Zach Zani, when we talked to him last week, seemed to indicate that, you know, you black out the noise. The idea that people think you're a bust after 2 years, that's motivation for you.
Like I said, you guys can write it up. Fans got it. Everybody got their own opinion. So I'll have to leave it at that.
But does that drive you? Does that motivate you? Does it?
Not really. I mean, if you say I won't be able to score 100, I mean, a touchdown or get 100 yards in the game, that don't affect how I'm going to play. Mm-hmm. I just know I got to turn it up and do what I got to do.
Can you stop for a couple more?
How do you adjust to 2 new quarterbacks now? Technically 3, but specifically mentioned, how are they different
when it comes to the ball game? I don't know how they're different. I'm not a coach. I'm not really watching them. More opinion to myself and how I get in and out of my break. So that's about it. Just really worried about myself.
Is this the time of year, though, when you need to work out some of the kinks with new guys?
I line up, and whoever's in there is in there.
Kevin, when you talk about getting out of your breaks, what are some of the details in that area that go into that you're working on?
Just pushing vertical, trying to get out as quick as steps as I can. Try to do a little break step and get out in 2 steps. Just trying to beat the defender across from me. That's all.
What is Victor? After playing just 4 games in 2 years, are you at a point where you just kind of want to get your feet back on the ground and establish yourself? Are you a better receiver now than you were when you came in 2 years ago?
To me, that's common sense. The knowledge I have, the coaches I have around me. So.
Thanks, guys.
What does Victor Cruz bring to the receiver room?
Leadership. He's a vet. He's been around. He's done it all. So bring a lot of things to the table.
That's that.
Yeah.
Team sometimes got shot down.
He does not like was Mark, my colleague Mark Potash, who, now he didn't call him a bust, but he used the B word.
Who laughed that? Was that Kevin?
That was Kevin who
like
at.
Laughed out loud when he used the B word?
Yes, yes, yes. That was Kevin.
And then Pat asked him what I thought was a fair question about his, the two quarterbacks, and Kevin said he's not even watching them.
Oh, yeah. Completely stiff-armed. Of course he is. He's actually, if you follow along social media, very close with Mike Glennon. His girlfriend and Mike Glennon's wife are very chummy. So, obviously, he did not like the line of questioning coming from his right, where my colleagues, Patrick Finley, Mark Potash, were standing. He obviously has an affinity for Rich Campbell. He gave him actually great answers. I noticed that. But we've had other interactions where Kevin White was kind of cornered in the locker room, and he's talking about himself. And it's just – I wasn't surprised by today's interaction. I know some people came away from that feeling very negative about him and how he's feeling, but that's – we've had similar interactions with him about this before, especially when it's talking about him and earning his place and becoming a better receiver, getting in and out of his breaks, all that stuff. I thought John Mumola had a good question there about relearning how to run, changing his gait, which Kevin White said yes to. He's had to change things about himself. Yeah. So obviously he feels uncomfortable talking about himself, and he may say he doesn't feel the bust pressure. Oh, but I 100% think he does. He's just saying he doesn't. It's clearly there at the forefront of his mind, in my opinion.
These press conferences are streamed on ChicagoBears.com. Less than 30 seconds went by from the time Kevin White finished what you just heard, answering Zach Zaidman's last question, to when I got back to my computer. And sitting on my computer when I got back were these two tweets from fans. Sounds like Alshon trained White on how to talk to the media. This one said, that Kevin White interview was just brutal. So dismissive and calling questions common sense. Shake my head. So, I mean, the fans notice it too.
Yeah.
I'm not sure it matters. I mean, I don't really care too much if a guy is like dismisses us or whatever. But,
well, he clearly doesn't like the topic of conversation. I don't care how much he says he's dismissing the bust conversation.
But you can't
he's hearing it.
Well, you can't avoid it when you've played 4 out of 32 games. Yeah. And my whole point last week, which is maybe something we should get in, it's not so much, okay, did Kevin White get hurt again, although that would have been, I mean, that obviously would have been bad. It's a great sign he was back out there today. Mm-hmm. Absolutely a great sign that he was back out there, and it's probably the news of the day. I just don't understand why the Bears, and specifically John Fox, don't help this guy out a little bit. I mean, the way they handled Kevin White not practicing last Tuesday, basically we've been led to believe for months and months and months that Kevin White was going to be 100% when OTAs start. And the first one that's open to the media, he's standing on the sideline. I mean, duh, you have to handle that differently than everybody else. When this is a former number first round pick who has played 4 out of 32 games. And for John Fox to come out and be like, oh, it's the same as everyone else, and I can't control how people think and feel. You absolutely can. You're the spokesperson for the team. You're the spokesperson for the team on a daily basis during the season. And like it or not, the fans do think and feel things based on what you say. Yeah. And so, if it was because of the rain, then say that.
Yeah.
Look, he's coming off two broken legs. It's a little rainy today. We wanted to give him the day off. He's fine. Just say that. Not a big deal. Not a big deal. Or, hey, look, we're still being cautious. We're still being slightly cautious. We just sat him out today precautionary. People would have read into that a little weird because he only practiced one day and then needed to sit out day two. But still, okay, it's understandable that you're being cautious.
It's Fox being Fox. This is the mode of operation he has chosen to work with us. But my point is, I don't think it did Kevin any favors.
I know.
I think it just fuels the questions about him being a bust. I think, and I'm not sure it's motivating him.
The bust talk?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, is that what they're
trying? For sure it's motivating.
It better be motivating.
Is that what they're trying to do? They want us to call him a bust? So it motivates him?
I don't think Fox is thinking that thoroughly involved
then
in
why not
mind
help?
Games.
I agree with you, but then
because
why not help him out?
Because he's just dismissive with us. That's just... It didn't even cross his mind to help him out. It's an injured
That's
guy.
That's my point!
Yeah, it's an injured...
Have some awareness!
It's an injured guy. It's May. It's OTAs. Heck, he didn't even talk to us during OTAs last year. He's just there now at the podium. Doesn't want to be there. Wants to get through it as fast as possible. Didn't talk today. Not going to talk next week. May talk during minicamp.
You're talking about Fox now.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe I'm just...
I was surprised he talked last week. I didn't know why he did.
Last year during OTA. Maybe I've just become... jaded is not the right word. It's the way the guy operates. He's not going to change. It's just the way it is. And I get it that maybe he could have thrown his number one pick from a couple years ago a bone. And he didn't. And it sounded awful. Believe me, it did not go over well publicly. But hands up. Shrug it off. That's just the way it is, I think, with Fox.
I wonder from fans, maybe you could tweet at us after you listen to this. Just, I mean, do you care? Do you care that Kevin White was dismissive today? Does it matter? I mean, Alshon was different, though. Alshon was sometimes dismissive, but he wasn't always dismissive. He was just his way of...
He was just always uncomfortable speaking to the media.
Yeah.
Now, Kevin's very well-spoken. He can handle all this.
That's why I think today it's accurate to say he was dismissive of some questions. Not all of them.
Yes. Definitely not happy to be there. But I think he has to realize why he's in demand and why he was asked for today, especially after last week.
Yeah. Well, I mean, again, the news is that he's out there. So he didn't break his leg again. We could have told you that last week, but we weren't allowed to.
Yeah.
All right. And you can sense my frustrations. Sorry.
It's May,
but it's...
Beautiful weekend, beautiful day.
It's. But that's... I could have told you last week he didn't break his leg, but instead I had to word it weird and, you know, I mean, or I'm breaking the rules.
Word it weird.
It's just ridiculous. Okay, what else? Connor Shaw. Good old Connor Shaw.
Mm-hmm.
The fan favorite who threw 16 passes in the preseason last year and was anointed the future by some fans. I'm not saying all fans. Was waived this morning to make room for Victor Cruz, who was officially added to the roster. I made the mistake of checking my Twitter mentions on this one, too. Multiple people saying that they did not like the move. Someone saying, I really don't like this move. He looked really good last year before his injury. I also doubt that Mark Sanchez is better.
Yeah, all you have to do is... search on Twitter for Mark Sanchez or Connor Shaw, and you get reactions like this. You cut Connor Shaw before you cut Mark Sanchez? This GM is garbage. Watch this man Shaw come back and obliterate the Bears. With what team?
Does Connor Shaw even get a job?
I don't know. Yeah, well, he could be a camp arm. Look, Connor Shaw
is
a nice guy.
But he immediately gets filed in the group of quarterbacks that if he gets signed before Colin Kaepernick, then I'm totally on board with this Colin Kaepernick getting blackballed thing.
Yeah.
Colin Kaepernick's way better. Than Connor Shaw.
Oh, because in terms of...
I'm just saying if someone claims...
Look, if you just need a camp arm, you're not going to bring Colin Kaepernick again.
Well, okay, that's fair.
Right?
That's fair. But don't most teams have their camp arms right now?
You never know. People get hurt.
I haven't evaluated every NFL depth chart right now. But look, he threw 16 passes. He never threw more than 6 in one preseason game last year.
Mm-hmm.
He went 2-for-4 against the Broncos, 4-for-6 against the Patriots, 5-for-6 against the Chiefs, and then got hurt. And for some reason, all year long, it was like, anytime the quarterback talk came up, it was like, well, Connor Shaw's waiting in the wings for next year.
Yeah, you know who talked him up? It was Fox. Fox did talk him up. Here's another tweet if you search Connor Shaw and Mark Sanchez. This is at the Chicago Bears from Christopher Carlson. He tweets at the Bears. Why would you waive, spelled wrong, Connor Shaw, you morons, get rid of Mark Sanchez or some no-name wide receiver? That was just dumb.
I don't know how many times we could tell people this. Mark Sanchez is not a Chicago Bear to play football. He is not here to play football. If Mark Sanchez is playing football in 2017, something has gone terribly wrong. Okay? He is here to help mentor two young quarterbacks. And yes, Mike Glennon still counts as a young quarterback because he has not played a whole lot. He's played some. He has a decent, you know, amount of tape under his belt, but is still young in this league, is still unproven. Mark Sanchez might not have been a good NFL quarterback, okay? He did not live up to his draft status and all that. That does not mean that he's not a smart veteran, somebody who can mentor a young guy, perhaps on his own mistakes. How many quarterback coaches in the league, how many offensive coordinators, how many head coaches are guys that were never, you know, Hall of Fame players?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, just because you didn't have a great career does not mean you can't add value to a team with two young quarterbacks. Connor Shaw falls in the category of young quarterback who hasn't played. He's played in one NFL game. One NFL game. So what value is he adding to the roster?
He falls in the category of the everybody loves the backup.
Yeah.
And he's not even the backup.
No, he's the four stringer.
He wasn't even the backup last year. He had one good preseason game. Nice guy. Good locker room guy. I get that. But Mark Sanchez, if anything, at the very least, I should say, the Bears want him to be a good sounding board for all the concerns and all the pressures and all the stuff that's going on in the minds of Mike Glennon and Mitch Trubisky. Like Trubisky, Mark Sanchez was a top five pick with limited college experience. Like Mike Glennon, he was a starting quarterback for a franchise, a major market franchise, with a media corps that will call you a bust to your face.
He's played his entire career in big markets, including college.
Yes, yes. So that's just to have those conversations. And he had those conversations last year with like a Dak Prescott, telling him how to savor moments and stuff like that, and how Dak Prescott was able to level his head at certain times when the moments got too high or too low for him during his breakout rookie season. They just want him to be that resource for Glennon and for Trubisky. And with all due respect to Connor Shaw, he is not that.
This is probably good for Connor Shaw.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Connor Shaw, all this talk about Mike Glennon and rightfully so, his reaction to the Bears drafting Mitch Trubisky. But if you're Connor Shaw and you've been on this team since last year and you see, oh, they signed Mike Glennon. Oh, now they signed Mark Sanchez. Well, they signed Glennon. You know you're not playing. You're not starting unless there's a big injuries. Then they signed Mark Sanchez. You go, I'm not even the backup anymore. Mm-hmm. And then they go out and they draft Mitch Trubisky. You're the four stringer.
Yeah.
You have virtually no shot of making the team when that happens. Okay? So Connor Shaw can at least go somewhere now where maybe he has a better shot to make the team. He's not making this team unless Sanchez gets hurt and probably Glennon and Trubisky. One of the two gets hurt. I mean, he would need a lot of help here in Chicago.
Does he have practice squad eligibility still?
He's been in the league for 3 years now.
But there's an exemption now.
Yeah, I know. He probably does because they've really loosened the practice squad eligibility. Yeah. And who knows?
And they're larger rosters, practice squad rosters now.
Maybe something happens and Connor Shaw ends up back on the Bears. Who knows?
Yeah.
I mean, you can't rule that out. But because who knows if he gets claimed here, he's on waivers, and we'll see. But, I mean, come on, guys. Don't waste your time getting all upset the Tuesday after Memorial Day. I know everyone's cranky. They have to go back to work today. And the first thing you see when you get to the office is the Bears cut Connor Shaw. But just relax.
It's May, everybody.
It's May.
It's Connor Shaw. Again, with nice guy, but come on. Come on.
All right. Because we recorded on Monday last week, we really didn't get time to react to the first week of OTAs, or at least the one first practice open to us. But Mike Glennon talked to us for the first time since Mitch Trubisky was drafted. Glennon came off as a guy who, well, let me just, here's what I got, from the vibe I got. Yes, it bothered him that they drafted Mitch Trubisky. It should bother him. It's clearly motivated him. And he completely understands that he is basically on a one-year contract right now and has the opportunity to prove, not only to the Chicago Bears, but to the rest of the NFL, that he can be a starting quarterback in the NFL. He knows he's going to get the opportunity. The Bears have reiterated that. Is it going to be a full 16 games? I don't know. I can't tell you. Because I've already made the argument that if the Bears are 3-7 late in the year and they're not clearly not making the playoffs, why would you not give your first-round draft pick some reps?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that is, just seems silly not to. However, you know, if 3-7, you still had 10 games to prove yourself. And if you're 3-7, then there's probably a good chance you shouldn't be the quarterback anymore. I understand there's a lot of weaknesses on this Bears team. It's not all going to be the quarterback's fault. We just spent a lot of time defending Jay Cutler, quite frankly, over the years. But Mike Glennon's going to have the opportunity in week one. He plays well. It's going to go to week two, and it's going to continue. And if he plays so well that there is a problem with getting Trubisky on the field, well, that's actually a good problem for the Bears to have.
Yeah.
And maybe it turns out down the road that Glennon's traded or something, like, who knows. But he's going to get the opportunity to play well. And he said, how many times? Was it 13 times in that press conference?
I called it seven. My year.
2017 is my year.
Yeah. Number one, I think he should have always thought this was a one-year deal. All he has to do is look at the structure of the contract that you agreed to and signed.
I think he did, probably. But the Trubisky thing made it obviously more urgent.
Well aware, yes. You brought in a young buck with the number two pick. I get that.
He can't screw up now.
Yes. I'm of the opinion that he's going to, and I've said this a couple times on air now, he's going to be given every opportunity to succeed and fail. That Mitch Trubisky, barring a serious injury to Mike Glennon, will not see the field in 2017.
Even in the scenario I just painted.
They are not going to throw him to the wolves.
Peter King told us something similar last week.
About Glennon?
In fact, I may have gotten that thinking from Peter King, now that I think about it. Because he did say it right here on this podcast.
Well, he also thinks Mitch Trubisky's going to be playing by Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving. Yeah. But it was the same scenario. If the Bears are bad and he doesn't think the Bears are going to be good, late in the year, why would you not play Trubisky?
No, I don't
Do you think, here, let me ask it a different way. Because right now you're saying what you think the Bears will do.
Yes.
Scenario I just painted, 3-7 late in the year.
Okay.
Will you be sitting here on this podcast saying that Glennon should remain the starter? Even if he's playing well.
Of my opinion?
Yeah.
Well, how well is he playing?
You know,
I don't think he's going
He's not going to the Pro Bowl, but he's exceeding some expectations.
I don't think he's going to be as atrocious as some people think he is.
I don't either, actually.
I think he'll be actually better than serviceable. Brian Hoyer with an extra throw or two down the field.
Well, because he can actually make those throws.
Yes. I think he will be okay. My column last week after that My Year press conference was that why is nobody considering that this guy could actually be good? Even for 1 year, a contract year of all years, really.
Are we allowed to talk about how he looked today?
Well, I said the defense was much better today.
Are we allowed to say anything other than that?
I think you're saying it already.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I saw practice, but I didn't see it. I'm not
you
saying.
You walk down that road as far as you want.
I'm asking you
an honest
question.
But we'll just say the defense, in particular their secondary, was exceptional today.
Specifically against Mike Glennon.
Yes, there you go. That works.
How about that?
That works. Look,
Thank God Jeff Joniak doesn't have to do play-by-play of OTAs.
Would have been a bad day.
Boy,
would have been a bad day.
His descriptions would not be very...
You know what we should do is go follow every Leo high school football player we could find on Twitter since that football team was there.
They could tweet it all.
Yeah, Snapchat. I'm not on Snapchat. I can't figure it out. We go see what they're snapping and chatting.
Leo, good Catholic Instagram school.
Yeah.
They got an awesome basketball gym. Seats like five people, but it's a cool atmosphere.
Oh, with the balconies there?
Yeah.
Yeah, that is cool. Yeah. That is cool. So, look, I think Mike Glennon actually is going to be quite okay this year. And I really don't think the Bears...
You heard it here first.
You know what? If
quite the, okay.
If the Bears are literally a god-awful, horrendous team, do you really want... Because if they're god-awful, horrendous, that means Jordan Howard hasn't produced. That means their offensive line's probably in shambles. That means all the receivers they signed aren't clicking. Kevin White's probably hurt again. Zach Miller's probably hurt again. You really want to throw the future of your franchise out there to get reps with a team full of scrubs at that point? The context and the situation matter. You throw him to the Wolves, he gets knocked around, gets concussed. There goes the future of your franchise.
Okay. If the offensive line is to the point where it's like when Jason Campbell went out there against the 49ers, which was, by the way, Colin Kaepernick's coming out party.
Yes.
At Candlestick Park. If it's that bad, then no, I would not throw him out there.
Because, it's not in the best interest because of your quarterback or your team.
Yeah, I mean, but that was, wasn't that J. Webb Nation out there and guys just like getting completely, it was bad.
Alden Smith had a field day, yes.
I mean,
Jason Campbell's also a statue back.
Yeah, Jason Campbell had no going into that game that day that he was going to be lucky to come out alive. If it's that bad, then no, I don't play him. But, you know, this offensive line is supposed to be pretty good this year. And they made it through last season relatively good. Like, that line...
You're saying... Okay, say they're...
The offensive line that was in Minnesota week 17 the last season, I would have been fine putting Mitch Trubisky behind.
Okay. I just think it's going to be... Look, everybody keeps referencing this Carson Wentz situation. They're coming from completely different offenses. Sam Bradford, at that point, was a more proven commodity. Mike Glennon's kind of unknown. You don't know what he's going to be.
I thought more highly of Wentz to begin with, and then you throw in the fact that he was coming from a pro offense and was much more prepared in May of last year to take over an offense.
The mechanics of operating in that system were smoother for him.
But I'm talking about November now. I'm not talking about, you know, week one. I'm talking about a bad football team. Well, what's the difference between throwing him out there in week 13 of this season and week one of next year? I mean, because aren't you going to play him by next year? Isn't that your thinking? And if you're going to...
It depends what you are at week 13. Do you have a bunch of guys out there? You have to really have a good grasp of what your team is.
Don't you want to know what you have with Trubisky before you decide
what... You don't know what you have with Trubisky if you're throwing him out there with a 3-7 team with a bunch of... If Josh Bellamy and Deontay Thompson are his starting receivers, you're doing Mitch Trubisky no good by putting him in a situation like that. Right. He could get killed.
Okay, but I'm not talking about that situation anymore. What if everything else is going okay?
And he's and Mike Glenn's the only reason they're not winning football games.
Don't you need to know that if Glennon can play? I mean, I'm sorry, if Trubisky can play, if you're going to get rid of Glennon in the offseason. We keep talking about how this is a one-year deal.
Yeah. It's actually a three-year deal. You're going to have to give you the option.
But my point is, you're going to have to decide on if you're going to pay this guy a lot more money.
No, it's not that much. It's only 16 in the first year. The majority of it is in the first year.
I know, but so how much is it in year two?
He gets guaranteed $2.5 million more. Just $2.5 million more in day three of the league year in 2018.
Right, but if he plays the whole year for you, he makes a lot more money. That's what I'm saying.
It's okay.
So are you keeping Glennon around for year two? That's a question Ryan Pace is going to have late in the year, and he needs to know if his rookie can play
question. Okay, if Mike Glennon is the only reason the Bears are struggling.
That is not going to be the case. That's not what I'm asking.
Okay, but if he's like 75% the reason. Because the quarterback is the most important position of all sports. And if it's clear to you that Mike Glennon...
Yeah, and everyone else is healthy?
Say they're a 2-6 team, and you know they could be a 4-4 team because your quarterback play has been that erratic. Yeah. Then yes, maybe. And you feel okay that Mitch Trubisky is making good enough progress. Then okay, I understand it.
Well, I'm just not convinced that he's going to play all 16 games. I do think he's going to get every opportunity to prove himself. But, well, let's see how this all plays out. All right, well, speaking of wide receivers and potentially Deontay Thompson being out there in week 14 and 15, the Bears have signed a bunch of guys hoping that doesn't happen. And one of those guys was Victor Cruz since our last episode. Very interesting signing for the Bears. You know, Victor Cruz is an interesting player because, you know, the Bears make the signing. It's like, oh, they got a name. You know, that's a big name in football. I don't think his numbers match his name. Does that make sense?
Well, people love the dance. He was a superstar. Okay, superstar's a loose term.
He kind of was a superstar. That's my point.
A few years ago.
But he doesn't produce like a superstar.
No, not recently. Well, he has.
But I'm saying even, I mean, he made, what, one Pro Bowl?
He had two really good years.
Yeah. But that's not, I mean, like, Antonio Brown's a superstar.
Yes.
You know
yes,
what I mean?
Yes.
Like, that's a guy who is consistently,
yes.
He's a name because of what he does on the field. And I'm not saying Victor Cruz has had some good success, and, you know, if he's healthy, could be a potentially very impactful player out of the slot for the Bears. But let's just be careful because this guy really has not done a whole lot in three seasons now. He had a good first half of last year and then fell off. I mean,
now they don't have a true slot receiver. Daniel Braverman was not there today. So immediately I think Cruz will have a role. I don't know. I think come training camp we'll know a bit more. You're right in saying that he had two really good years. He had one amazing year. Was it his rookie year? He was an undrafted guy. Just completely broke out. But at the same time, he won't have an Odell Beckham Jr. on this roster now. I mean, he may very well be like the Bears' number two receiver already. He doesn't come from a loaded receiving core as the Giants have, right?
Yeah.
Everything I hear is that he's a great guy to have around some young players, very personable. I can see why he kind of transitioned into kind of like a, I don't want to say superstar, but maybe immediate darling because he does come off a pretty charismatic.
Yeah.
Looks you in the eye, very personable, very well spoken, handled himself in that. I think he was actually surprised today when the Bears PR said, two more questions. I think it caught him off guard.
Yeah, he looked like he wanted to keep going.
Like, hey, what are you doing?
Yeah.
But obviously the Bears have time constraints and they're trying to meet all our demands. But I could see why. Maybe the media kind of fell in love with him and gave this guy a platform. But my expectations are tempered. I think they have to be low. Not that low, but I think there's a wide open spot at slot. I really think that there is. I don't think Daniel Braverman has been everything Bears fans had hoped he'd be since last training camp.
Let's give Cruz credit for three good seasons. He didn't play much his rookie year, but he was an undrafted free agent, so that's understandable.
His second year, then.
Gets his opportunity in year two. Over 1,500 yards, 9 touchdowns. That's an outstanding season with 82 catches. Comes back in 2012 with 86 catches, just over almost 1,100 yards and 10 touchdowns. So those were his two best years. Then he really becomes, you know, the focal point of that offense kind of after those 2 years. Just shy of 1,000 in 2013 with 73 catches, and the touchdowns dipped a little bit to 4, but I'm just guessing, you know, he's getting extra attention at that point. And then that's when the injury started to hit. So he 23 catches in 2014, 2015 was the year he missed completely. In 2016, he was decent. You know, 39 catches, 586 yards, one touchdown. I mean, those are numbers the Bears could have, that could help the Bears. That's what he did last year in 2016. But it has been, even if we give him credit for 2013, coming just under 1,000 receiving yards, that was 4 years ago. That was 4 years ago, and he's 30 years old now. I guess the point I'm making is it would be very rare to see a 30-year-old who hasn't produced like that in 4 years all of a sudden explode.
No, temper your expectations. You would take 700 yards and 3 touchdowns.
Yeah.
For number 3. Number
I mean,
four,
I think the Bears would take 39 catches, 586 yards, and 1 touchdown.
Yeah.
Which is what he had last year. Mm-hmm. Maybe a couple more touchdowns. Mm-hmm. But that helps the Bears.
They signed one of these free agent wide receivers are going to, one of them has to hit, right? Marcus Wheaton, Kendall Wright, Victor Cruz, and Reuben Randall. One of them, I think, has to have a better than decent season.
And if Cam Meredith keeps taking a step forward,
Kevin White becomes
what they, you know.
I don't think he's going to be what they thought he'd be. If he just becomes something,
then that's an okay group.
lot of different skills, different sizes.
But you don't have that go-to number one guy like you used to when he was out there. Caveat, Alshon Jeffrey, when he was out there.
Mm-hmm.
But when he was a game changer.
When he was out
used
there.
To say he tilted the field when he was out there. All right. We should probably close this thing up.
It's May. I've said that like five
it's
May. Times.
Maybe that should be what we just call this episode. It's May.
It's May. Leonard Floyd episode. He wasn't there today, so yeah, there we go.
Yeah. What else can we not tell them? I don't know. I can't say it. It's May. I should chill out, probably. I should probably chill out. It's May. All right, yeah, I was probably cranky today. You'd probably put me in the cranky category. It happens. Angry Adam comes out.
Too much beer, too much barbecue from this weekend.
I actually didn't have that much beer over the weekend.
Well, maybe that's why you are cranky.
Maybe I should have had more.
Yeah.
Maybe that's my problem.
Yeah, I had a few.
I had a good weekend, though. Did you have a good Memorial Day weekend?
I did have a great Memorial Day. Right. I can't talk now. We're done. Memorial Day weekend.
And
fantastic.
And then it was over and we had to go to Hallis Hall where we could not report things that we saw. So maybe that's why I'm cranky. Maybe like the people that are got to the office at 9 a.m. and saw that Connor Shaw was waved and they got cranky. Maybe I'm just as guilty. Sorry, guys.
All right. Anyway. I may pay up my bet this weekend.
You may.
I've been trying to think of another bet to...
Instead of just paying up six lousy beers.
The problem is, since you like your fancy beers, I've always forgotten what it is. And I don't want to text you what it is, because then you'll mock me on our next podcast.
Our listeners know what it is already.
Yeah,
it came up on Twitter.
What is it?
It is Kona Brewing Company.
Okay.
Big Wave Golden Ale.
Big Wave. It's actually a very good beer.
Please, listeners, please tweet like a photo of that beer to Adam Johns, at Adam Johns on Twitter. And then he has no more excuses then. All right? And I can't wait till Christian Hackenberg plays well this season. It's going to be awesome.
Oh, God.
At Adam Hoge on Twitter, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. Read us at WGNradio.com/Bears. com. Please subscribe, rate, and review the podcast on iTunes. You can find it on the TuneIn app, the WGN Radio app, and many other places where you listen to your podcasts. It's there. We appreciate you listening. Will Adam Johns pay up his bet? Probably not.
Odds are low.
Talk to you guys next week.